Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Think Outside the Blue Box. I'm Anthony Rivera. I am the lead videographer and editor here at Blue Box Digital, and this is a podcast about creative journeys. We bring on creative people, we feature their journey, and we hope to inspire you to follow your creative journey. And today I have one of the most talented people we've ever had on the podcast.
Man, too nice.
Yeah, man. He's charted number 18 on Billboard in February 2021. He was also charted number one in iTunes. And he's here to talk about it, Mr. Pusha Prime.
How you doing, man?
Thank you so much, man. Thank you for joining me, dude.
Always,
thanks for reaching out. I know we had Frank on the Frankie X.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah,
Frankie, that's my guy. We got records together. I remember Frankie from way back in the days, and seeing him now, like the glow is like
the rise.
It's inspiring.
Yeah. He shout you out too, man.
That's my guy.
He kind of knew you were gonna reach out after you.
For
saw
real?
Yeah.
I like to say I like to stay connected. So anytime I see any media that's in Tampa, I just want to just connect them. So maybe I might have something that you need, or likewise, maybe I could get in touch with your audience, and then they could learn something as well too. Because a lot of interviews, I feel like they're dope. Like you get to hear the story, but they're not as educational.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the place that God put me here is just to kind of like educate the artists of Tampa so that we can kind of just build our own scene and stop trying to be compared to like Miami and Atlanta and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's why I started the podcast, and I talk about this in every episode. It's like, I see all this creativity here in the Tampa Bay area, like Tampa St. Pete area. And there's like no spotlight, man. There's like, we need to.
The spotlight's there. It's just that the thing that we have to like come to terms with is just like, Tampa's more like food and beverage and sports, you know what I'm saying? So the more so the art, that's St. Pete. It's transitioning to Tampa. It's just that we have to tap into the scene that draws the most crowd. So I learned that when we did Gasparilla Music Festival. So jazz, funk, and like alternative and rock, that's what Tampa's like music scene really is. But most of them don't live here. But when they come here to do shows, everyone pops out.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I'm trying to do is create that bridge to where it's like, you know, all the artists in Tampa just link up with all the musicians in Tampa. And then we don't even have to, you know, go the DJ route unless it's like a club or something like that. And all our shows would just be live shows. Then you'll see the progression, because I've seen the progression ever since I started a band, you know?
Yeah. What got you started?
Well, I've always been like a band head from like way back in the days, from like Nirvana. I'm a big fan of Queen.
Nice.
I dabble in Kiss every once in a while, not too much. And then when Jay-Z did the collab album with Linkin Park, I bought that CD.
Nice.
And that shit was like so incredible, because I was like, damn, like I can hear this song from this perspective. And I never really like energized that, you know?
Yeah.
And then back in the days when, you know, living in New York, I used to have to, because I was a troublesome kid. So they had to send me several times to Rochester. So my uncle used to, like, he's like all, like before Uber was out, he was the person to pick everybody up to go places. So we used to drive, you know, I mean, not drive, but he used to drive us everywhere. And he used to play smooth jazz. And I used to love the sound of that shit in the car. Like no music, just instrumentals. And then, you know, even till today, I just listen to instrumentals. And I understand that it's the music first, then the words second, and then the feeling comes third. You know what I'm saying? So all these things have to kind of be like implemented when you think about live shows. That's why people love live shows, no matter what age, young, old. It could be a kid. It could be, you know what I'm saying? It's just it's just something that you could feel it more. And that's why I want people in Tampa to kind of like engage in more, you know? Yeah,
there's nothing like a live performance, man. There's nothing. I love live music. And I appreciate you inviting me out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be a good time. Yeah. The last one we had at Hoosh and Hive was really good. I was shocked at the support that we got.
Nice.
Then it transcended when we did Gasparilla Music Festival. That shit was crazy as well too. That was like the first time I'm just like, okay, this is what it must feel like to be like a huge act, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good, man. So are you originally from Tampa?
No, I'm from New York.
From New York.
Mm-hmm.
And what brought you to Tampa?
my daughter lives here. Okay. So when I left school in Mississippi, I went back to New York. I was working with a label called King's Legacy.
Okay.
And then, you know, we just kind of just, not that things fell out, but we had like a little pause. And then that was my sign to come back down.
Yeah.
And then kind of just be here for my daughter. I didn't want her like, you know, I was visiting her every once in a while, like holidays, birthdays, and things like that.
Yeah, so but, you were here anyway.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't enough, so I had to make sure that I made the full transition.
Yeah, that's nice, man. Well, welcome.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. I've been here for a while now, so it's like,
this
home. Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
How long have you been in Tampa?
I want to say since 2000, and I left in 2009.
Okay.
And then came back 2000, end of 14, like summer 14.
I know Frankie called you the OG.
I mean, I'm soon, man. Soon there. I don't think there yet. I think you know, people like Tom, Tay Bay, and Strizzle and all of them. I think they're more so the OGs because they, you know, I feel like once you kind of experience a decade of the music, then you can kind of be in that OG stature. Because you know that when things start coming back full circle. So far, I haven't seen anything come full circle yet. It's just been like everything has been brand new for me. You know,
that's good, man. That's good. Stay creative.
Trying to. Yeah. Hell yeah. Keeps you alive.
So what got you? I know you said that you've always been into music, but was there something that kind of like pulled you in, any specific genre, any you know, any artist that inspired you?
It's like different things, you know? Like you have the writing portion came from me like doing poetry. I used to write haiku. That was like my way to like talk to girls and stuff like that. So and then the being able to kind of like do it in crowds came from the battle rapping. That's what I did in Tampa. We had like a little crew. We used to battle rap people from like other schools. Mm-hmm. And then music just came from different sources. So, you know, my favorite artist is Jay-Z. And then from there, just kind of just streamlines to like different artists through different time in my life. Because sometimes I might like something because I'm hearing it, but I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Jay Brown about it. Like back in the days, we would hear Nas and be like, yo, Nas is really good. But Nas is too goody toosh. But then you hear Nas now, and he's like ambassador for Hennessy, and you're just like, wait, weren't you the guy that told me not? I was like, ah, whatever, you know? So, you know, I would say just, you know, the way that music would just play a soundtrack in my life is what kept me addicted to it. And then just being able to just be, like, creative with it. So I'm naturally just a creative person from, you know, making the masks, making the clothing, sketches of sneakers, you know, doing the treatments for our videos, things like that. So music is like one of the things I could just naturally make without having anybody else to help me with it. You know, like with video, you know, I don't have a camera, or when we did have a camera, I would need an editor. When I don't have a camera, then I need the pro. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I need a team. I'm very team oriented.
Yeah.
Music is the only time I don't need that. Like I can, you know, if you give me the instruments, I can put it together. If you give me, you know, the mic and, you know, back when we used to record ourselves, then I can construct the song. You know, I can go in the EQs and find like a decent enough mix for you to listen to and be like, oh, you got something going on there.
Yeah, do you play anything? Do you play any instruments?
I'm trying to learn the guitar right now. Yeah. So my MD is like on my head about it. So I'm on YouTube like, just trying to, you know. I think that adding that element is going to make the music better for me. I'd be able to like hear it from like another dimension.
Yeah, I like your music, man, because it's more melodic. Like more like singing. Like I can tell that you know how to use the instruments in the proper way.
Yeah, I'm learning it. You know, I have some people who like I look up to who I think are really good at it. That I like to be on the same page. Like Siobhan's really good. Elijah Smith, he's really good. I mean, my MD, he plays keys. He's like fantastic. You got Amari with the violin. So it's like, I want to get to that level. And I know it takes years and years, but it's like, I kind of just take the Kobe mentality. If I just do this as if there's, you know, 12 hours in a day and I do this twice a day, then I could make up for every day that you guys are not working on your craft. You know what I'm saying? So if there's 7 days and I'm doing it on a 24 to 36 hour per day, then I'll be able to kind of catch up when my time comes.
Yeah, no, that's good. Double up.
Yeah, that's the key thing. If you want to learn anything fast, you got to double up. You got to sacrifice the free time. Like,
and the consistency.
That too.
You got to stay consistent.
Super important.
Yeah, you have to practice. People say, oh, no, I don't have. Yeah, you got to practice.
You got to practice.
got to. Practice makes better.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but better.
Facts. Perfect is an idea.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
unattainable goal.
Yeah.
You're just trying to be better than you were yesterday.
Yeah, that's ultimately the goal. Yeah. You know, you have to have that self-satisfaction and accountability for yourself as well, too. you know?
Yeah. What's your favorite project, man, that you've worked on?
Oh my God.
The one that you're most proud of. Not the accolades or anything, just something that you personally, you know.
It's a tie.
Yeah.
It's a tie. I would say if you're asking me now and I'm not like putting like too much thought into it, I'll say Before I Say I Do. Cause that was like the transition from like being like super rapper, just rapping every 16 bars to just like understanding the songs. And then like it was kind of like my first concept to where it's like I entitled the songs into the concept. Cause sometimes you have like a good concept for a project, like I'm gonna call this album The Fall, right? And you're gonna talk about all the bad things in your life, right? Well, the way I did it was I did it based on a situation that everybody can kind of like be a part of, but it was my real life situation. So that was the like the huge transition, because I usually just kind of like, you know, tell my story, then I'm out. Like I don't care if you don't relate. It's just me. It's me.
Yeah.
But that particular project, I did it from the aspect of the Truman Show. So it's like you're watching it and I'm watching it too, and we're kind of like having the oohs and ahs together. So that one, Before I Say I Do, because those are all the records that I did before I got married.
Nice.
So those records were like the real thing that would happen in my life at that time.
Why can't I let it go? I don't mean no offense. I just need you to leave. Got you all in my bed. This anatomy needs.
Well, what kind of stuff have you been through, man?
Oh, psh, man.
Yeah.
Been through some shit, man. That's why, I mean, I took on the, just rebranding myself into, I don't even like calling it rebranding myself. I feel like I was always this person because in my family, because I'm West African, they wear masks for celebrations and performances. So I've been touching base more with my roots a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they would show me pictures. Like they have these wooden masks that they wear when they do like ceremonies and things of that nature. So I was like, okay, I wasn't too far
off. Part of the culture. Though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for me, when I moved down here, I just didn't want my previous work to take away from the time that I spent with my brother Nova, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like what we made during that time, it's timeless. I don't want anyone to ever discredit it or kind of do us like the Clips or any other group, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how they do Nerd and stuff like that. Like, it's not about that. Like, appreciate this time. So, MF Doom went through a similar thing when his brother died. So, when his brother died, that's when he left. And then he made the Middle Face Doom mask and then became MF Doom. So, I was watching the interview with him. I seen the interview and it was so inspiring. Like, I'm going to do that. Plus, I'm able to kind of like, I want to be able to just, you know, if I'm with my family, because I have my daughter, right? So, you know, with my family, I'm in a certain kind of place. I don't want to be asked about music, you know? I don't want to put the spoils of those kind of my work to interfere with my family life. Like, if you want to know, like, what's going on, it's in the music. It shouldn't be anything else more than that, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes people's faith card can get them in trouble with other things too, you know?
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why you wear the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever shown your real face? No. Are you going to?
No. Never. Never! Yeah, no.
I tried looking for your face online, and I can't find it anywhere.
When I made the decision, I deleted everything.
Yeah.
I deleted everything on Facebook. I had my wife, who's my wife today, she deleted everything. Any tags, I told people, like, hey, I'm sorry, you know. You know, just because it's not about that, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't change anything, you know what I'm saying? You'll just be like, oh, I found Waldo, but you know what I'm saying?
So
like,
what?
Yeah, so what? You know what I'm saying? What? So yeah. It's more so that just letting people know that is, you know, do what you want, and two, be as creative as possible. This is like living proof that I'm getting through all these things, and I don't have to like, you know, show face and kind of like swindle you with any kind of personality. It's just like everything is just, my work shows for itself.
It speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it really does. So, and it's become iconic, man. Your mask has become iconic.
Yeah, it wasn't in the beginning. That's Frankie. In the beginning, it was a lot of hate, but I loved it because it was just like, you know, they hated Jesus, you know, not to like be extreme like that, but anytime that you want to be like a pioneer, they're always going to throw stones at you.
Anything different.
Anything.
Anything different. People are going to point fingers and try to, yeah, I've had that. Oh, that's awesome, man. And you created this persona. What was your first show? When did you actually step on stage for the first time?
As Preem or just in general?
As Preem, yeah.
Okay. It was at Pegasus Lounge on Bush or Fletcher, one or two. So I think it was like several months after I came back. Let me see. What was that? So I came back in August. So it was a year later. was a year later because I did it in August for my birthday. So, you know, that's when everyone seen it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had the mask and everyone was like confused, like, okay, what's going on? I came to see your birthday party. Like, you're not showing your face. Like, what's going on? And that was the first show, and it was with a band. I had Jordan Wortman. I had a bass player. I was doing it with the DJ at the time because we were just trying to, like, you know, kind of just follow in the footsteps of the Roots.
Yeah.
So that was like a really good show. Once I seen how everybody reacted with that, but I was still trying to figure it out. So mm-hmm. I was doing like MP3 songs and doing the band. You know what I'm saying? And then that's all. I was like, all right, it just got to be band. Like, it can't be both. Like, if it's MP3, then you guys can't be here because it's like, sonically, it's just too much for people. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's too much.
But that was a good show, though.
Yeah.
That's the first time I think I even, like, met Gats in person. He was there. And Gats pulled up. Wilson, before Rolling Loud, he was there. It was a bunch of people. I was shocked. That's when I was like, okay, it got to be the music. Yeah. I had a song called Maysay, and then everyone went crazy off that song.
Yeah.
And then I started doing, like, the shows with Yism at Chiefers. Then from there, there was, like, a hip-hop classroom or some shit like that I was doing shows for. And then Mike Mass kept telling me, like, yo, just throw your own show. Because I kept asking people, yo, can I get on the show? Can I get on the show? I was that guy.
Yeah.
And once I started throwing my own shows, it was a wrap.
You got to be the feature, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that was the first one that you did as yourself?
Yeah. That show was the first show I threw myself. I did it because I just wanted to have everybody there for my mm-hmm. birthday, you know.
Oh, it's a birthday bash.
Yeah. And it not be not really a bash. It was just really like, yo, come for my birthday, I'm going to perform kind of thing, you know.
Gotcha.
And then from there, then it was like doing feature shows. But when we threw one show together with Yism, and then that's when the opening started happening. We opened for Sahai the Prince. We opened for Snow the Product. We opened for Gunner and Young Thug.
That's, no way.
Yeah, in Orlando. That was a great show, nice. Too. So we started getting the openings like that all the time. Every time there was somebody here. And the show that made everyone a believer, we opened for Made in Tokyo. Wow. And I had the drummer. So the Orphan was giving me a hard-ass time. I'm just like, trust me on this one. Let me just have my drummer there. So my drummer was going on. It was me, Yism. I believe Frankie was there too. Yeah, they had the whole outside crew there. Because I wanted them to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And then in the crowd, my daughter was in the crowd with all her friends. So it was a super young crowd. So we gave them that energy and we get in with like a hint of the live music.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was just like, okay, it's time to kind of that's it.
Yeah, that's where you took off then.
Yeah, Symphonic hollered at me. That's when I signed with Symphonic and then COVID happened. But I already been, you know, really good with mm-hmm. just keeping in touch with my fan base through MailChimp and IG and text messages, and just like have like a database for phone calls for people if I don't hear from them after a while. Mm-hmm. And then we dropped a project called Overthinking Will Kill You. And we had like, you know, Zoom was popular during that time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, whoever wants this project, email me by the end of this day. So we got like 30 emails. Boom. Nice. We send them out. We're like, okay, on Friday, we're going to have a discussion. So we had a discussion with all 30 of them, so many boxes. It was like the Brady Bunch. Nice. And then we was like having a conversation about the project.
Nice. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that happened during the pandemic. People did Zoom shows. They mm-hmm. did. Yeah, they got real creative with the Zoom.
It was dope, though, because it's like now it's like there's no excuse.
Yeah.
As long as the internet exists, there's no excuse.
Yep. Yeah, you can get yourself in front of so many people. And even during the quarantine, man, you can still put out stuff. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, where do you record normally?
Grand Bay.
Yeah, Grand Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where Frankie said that he mainly records that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best studios in Tampa.
Nice.
Undeniably.
Nice. Do you just do the Tampa Orlando area, or do you travel?
Oh, we traveled. I did a Houston run last year. I went to Houston, so we went and did like a couple radio interviews in Houston just so I can kind of figure out what's the proper place for us to do South by Southwest, because I feel like when people from Tampa go there, they just put them in these like one-offs. Mm. So it is South by Southwest, but it's like a pub, you know what I'm saying? And you pay $6.50 to perform there. Yeah. It's like, it's fucked up.
Get out of here.
So I was like, I'll just go out there. I already have, you know, a decent enough resume. So I went there, talked to them. It was good. It was a good, definitely a very good trip. You know what I'm saying? I linked up with some guy named HC, the president.
Nice.
And he's huge right now. He just signed a deal with Motown. I believe it's Motown. But he has a song that's like constantly on ESPN all the time. He's like, bom, 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 bom. What I'll do is I'll talk to him to reach out to him to see if you guys can do like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
He's mad cool. He has an ill story.
Yeah.
He used to run around with Lil Boosie back in the day.
Nice.
Like just in the background. Yeah, and now he's his own man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. His loyalty and his persistence has been like inspiring. Yeah. So we just came back from New York. So we did the show at the Delancey. That was dope. That's the footage that I put up on my IG if anybody's watching this. And it was dope because I didn't know that they knew the words like that. So when we was doing Party Time, they was like singing along. Like it was crazy. We had left and then had to change back again because we was going to another show. We had two shows that night. And they were just like, is he some kind of rap star? Like random people, because upstairs they had like, I guess like, it felt like it was like college night. It was like a whole bunch of like 20 to 25 year olds. Nice. And like button ups and shit like that. So I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So I'm here trying to change. And you know, I have Chainsaw P on. Yeah. So people are like looking. They're like grabbing my shoulder, asking me questions. Like, what's your IG? And I'm just like, I gotta go. I gotta change. Like, yeah. You're not even supposed to see me. So that was cool. And then went to Harlem to go do the show with Jay Brown. And that was dope too.
Harlem,
wow. Yeah. So we had to, I linked up with like one of my homegirls that were in Nova's video. So she was there. And she's like, I know you're the only person that has a mask in the city. I'm going to make sure if I see anybody, I'm going to get their ass. I was like, nah, let them do them. You know, I'm not here to like police it. It's just like, no, like this is just like how I just create. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some people wear, like firemen wear helmets. In the medieval days, they wore helmets and things like that. It's like, it's all about representation, how you see yourself, you know?
Yeah, it's about self-expression.
Self-expression, I like that.
Yeah, self-expression. And like I said, man, it's become iconic. So it's like whenever people see it, it's like, yeah, that's Pusha Preem.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Highly successful and efficient people all have one thing in common. They all read, or at least listen. Now listeners of the show can get a free audiobook when you sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. You can keep the book even if you decide to cancel. Go to audible.blueboxdigital.com to sign up today. And now, on with the show.
I know you said you got I know this won't come out for a few weeks, but I know you said you got a show tomorrow. What's that about?
So I'm linked up with Metropolitan Ministries, Tampa Bay Sneak Convention, and Crowbar and Broken Mold. And basically, this is going to be like my last event that I'm throwing, like Pusha Preem event, mm-hmm. only because we're just getting booked as a band so much now. It's just going to be too strenuous. But, you know, I think what transpired from it is now that I do these shows, I'm going to add my nonprofit foundation. So it's called A March to Remember. So basically what I want to do is every show that I have, I want to, you know, have like a shoe donation. What inspired the idea is I did the show with Tampa Bay Sneaker Convention, right? Dope. It was like a dope event. They're having another sneaker convention coming up.
Okay.
And I was just watching all these kids with shoes and just passing it on. So I stopped. I mean, I'm a fan of shoes as well too, but it's like, I won't trade my, kind of, sort of, you know what I'm saying? Like for me, you know, there was a transition to where sneakers were just getting too expensive, you know? And at the time, dealing with a high school kid, you know, it's hard, you know what I'm saying? Like I can't buy myself something, not buy her something, you know what I'm saying? That'd be crazy. So I fell back while I was watching from a distance because I'm heavy in the fashion.
Yeah.
So I was watching these kids. They were as young as 12, 10, 11. And I'm like, damn, these shoes, I remember being that age to even have the confidence, you know, as just the adolescence. It's difficult. Yeah. If you're not in sports, if you're not good looking, if you're not super smart, like you can get lost in this world if you're not part of, you know, this Hunger Game kind of like aspect
culture,
of school.
Yeah.
So I remember being in all those different kind of cliques, especially when I moved here from New York. Like it was like super culture shock for me, you know? So I was like, damn, I know one thing though, if you want to be in, you know, this social culture kind of environment as somebody new or somebody that's like, you know, not as expressive, sneakers play a big role. You know what I'm saying? Like you could meet some of your best friends because of some sneakers.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn.
Starter.
Yeah. And I thought about all the families that don't have the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? You got some people that have five kids, three kids, single mother here, single dad there. Like, what kind of shoes do they get? They got to go to Ross and bargain, or probably got to work an extra shift. So what I want to do is I want to donate to those families, you know, just so if there's some being bad in school, but maybe he's bad in school because every time he goes to school, they're ragging on
they
his
get
shoes.
Bullied, yeah.
You know, like we don't know what goes on in these kids' classroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know in New York, you get your ass chewed out. And I'm from the era to where they check the back of your tag if you got something fake. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of calmed down now. But it's crazy. And now we have social media, so you can't even be yourself. Even if you want to be yourself, you're subconsciously still trying to be somebody else.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Pusha Preem is so important to just not like music in Tampa, just every individual. It's like however you want to create yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you're going to be a boxer, right, you have to imagine yourself being this boxer that can't be touched. You know what I'm saying? Or even a journalist, you got to imagine, okay, I want to, you know, I got to feel the way this person feels so I can just get all this information out. You know what I'm saying?
Project that vision.
Yeah, you have to, like, you know, you have to, it sounds crazy, but I get it now. Because I used to talk to this 5%er, but you have to, like, create your own, like, godlike self. You know what I'm saying? You have to, like, take responsibility of this vessel that you have. So all I want to do is, like, with my shows now, you know, people, like, they spend a lot of money with us in the shows. You know, they get drinks, they buy merch, they get packages, and we have a lot of dope, like, swag bags. You know what I'm saying? One time we had a 3D book. The last one that we had a lyric book. So it was a lyric book, but all the photos were, like, these professional photos that we kind of, like, choreographed. It took. I should have brought you one.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll make sure I get you one. That one was dope. Shout out to Mix. He put that together. So now, you know, to get to the point, I was rambling. I apologize about that.
No, you're good.
But the purpose of the show is I wanted to kind of, like, plant the seed for our live show Invasion, right? So Crowbar is known for their bands, right? Bands come here and they sell out all the time.
Nice.
But there's not a lot of urban bands in there. So what I want to do is I'm bringing Shelby Soul. So she's like Neo Soul. Jay Walt, he's in that same kind of demographic. Barely Legal, because Barely Legal super slept on. Those boys are super nice.
Nice.
And then kind of just show them how it is to kind of, like, you know, choreograph a show with the band. They're doing great with what they're doing, but the thing is, like, that market can get oversaturated if they don't like you. But when you come into the live music, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to have the coolest shirt. As long as you have the right energy, people bang with you.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of start bringing everybody in. Gasparilla Music Festival is doing a good job with that. Like, this line that they had, like, Sam Hughes. They had Vinny Virgo, you know. But what I want to do is I don't want people to have to wait until, like, the next Gasparilla Music Festival. And you kind of have to play their game of, like, knowing the right people. So the thing is, if the band makes noise, they'll come for you. Because that's what happened with us. You know, they heard about us from the Hootch and Hive show, and it was just like, yeah, we need those
boys.
That's
it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they'll reach out to you.
Yeah, and it was that one to me is, like, not to be biased, but that was my favorite one because we got to open for Nas, and I got to bring my people on. So I got to bring Jay Brown, I got to bring Fabian, Regina, Dejanay. So it was like, that's on our resume, you know?
Nice. Yeah, opening for Nas, Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right?
Holy Who would have thought? Yeah. Dude, you're killing it, man.
I'm trying, my brother. You're trying.
Yeah, and that's why I started this podcast, bro. Is I wanted to all rise together, man. Because the Tampa Bay community is just insane. It needs to be on the map.
Yeah, it's gonna be. But it's gonna be the way we do. We can't. You know, I was talking to White Hip Hop about it, and you know, she's like, oh, you know, they don't support. But I'm like, it's not that. It's like, that's why I invite these people to the events. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to get all serious and was like, what's going on? That's why I have these media pass things like that. It's not about the income from the show for me. It's more so the volume of people and everybody kind of seeing how a show's supposed to be constructed. Because people think a show is more so like, you know, I bring people together, I get on the stage. No. You got to understand that these people are paying for parking. They're eliminating time. I'm not only just competing with other shows. I'm competing with Eden. I'm competing with Bello. I'm competing with what's going on downtown. Free shows and free events. So if everyone takes the time and the energy to put themselves in the customer's shoe, then the shows will be better. You know what I'm saying? Because it's, you know, you can't have a show and then the sound's not working. You can't have a show and not have to pay for it, not have a sound guy. Like, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
You can't have a show and then the venue looks the same it did during the daytime. Like, you got to switch things up a little bit. And people have the opportunity, but they want to rush. So, you know, that's why I'm trying to invite everybody so they can see. Because the Hootch and Hive show, all my vendors made money. Dean, who owns Hootch and Hive, is like, next time you want to do a show, let me know first and we'll have everything organized. I have a residency at the Renaissance Hotel. We did like a listening party and we had like this 3D panel. So basically, like, when I make music, I have like a lot of things on YouTube just running that kind of like take me to certain places. So I took all those images and I put it through like a 3D converter, and then people were like watching the songs in 3D, and I had 3D glasses, and then you're hearing the music. There's little things like that.
Yeah.
Like, we have to start bringing people
expanding
into our world.
Yeah, I like how the Travis Scott Astro World, he released it on the Fortnite.
Yes,
that was so sick, dude. I love that because it was like, it was such a unique way to bring in like the young audience and just make it an experience.
Yes,
right? Because you could be in VR, or you can like, you could be in this environment with Travis. It was so cool, man.
I saw it on YouTube. I wish I was like there for it. I'm not a Fortnite fan per se, but
me either.
But when I saw it on YouTube, I was just like, damn.
Yeah.
And that's not the thing, is those kind of things are not stopping us from doing it here. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't have to be Fortnite. It can be on Twitch.
Yeah.
And then we can go to they have graphic design schools here. You can go to them and then work it out. Like right now, I'm a
graphic designer.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. I mean, we have to work something in the future then.
Yeah, let's do it.
For sure.
For real.
For sure. I'm serious about it. You know,
you got to get creative, man. You got to stand out.
Man. Yeah. And I just feel like it just keeps you alive. You know what I'm saying? It keeps you alive. And that's how we're going to put ourselves on the map because, you know, certain states and certain cities, like when I went to Houston, the thing about them, they're workaholics. So it was like, you know, when we was talking and they was playing the record, I swear, I feel like I was on like Funk Flex. They played the record like 7 times in a row. They just kept playing it. He's like, we're going to be playing this all day long until you guys get this song. I love this song. Like, he just kept playing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it got to be like that. But it's happening slowly. Like, Mike Mass is working with 88.5 now, so he has Wave Theory Radio. You have Dylan Harmon. He's doing the interviews now, too. And he's doing, like, music video style interviews. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like he interviews you. Like, he has, like, all the gadgets or whatever. And then he takes you outside. And he creates, like, a set. So I can't wait to the interview with me and him so I can show you. So he had like the smoke machine, he had the gimbal. I'm like, this extra?
That's
He's like, sick. No, we just want to give you guys performances. I was just like, there you go.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, but I put on some shows for Christmas and stuff like that here.
Oh,
like,
word?
Yeah, I invite artists. I'm gonna start doing some comedy too, some like stand-up comedy and stuff. Just bring.
Let me know. Coaching Control, where I have to go for the next interview. He does like a comedy joint, and then now he's doing a vintage expos. So he goes to his breweries, and then he has like 30 or 40 like vendors, and they're all there, and everyone just comes to like a huge ass flea market, but in a brewery. You know what I mean?
Sick. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, people, you got to get creative, man.
It's the way of life, man. Yeah. I feel like God created us so we can create. You know what I'm saying?
We're creative.
We have electric cars, bro.
Yeah.
That's not crazy.
That's wild.
That's not crazy. They had a show called The Jetsons, and now it's like we're running on batteries. Like, and now everyone's catching on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's see what the next car might be, you know?
Yeah. Wow, dude. So what's next for you, man? What are you working on currently?
Right now, I'm in like, I was talking about it on Facebook. I'm in this like artist indecisive bubble because I want to continue putting out music. But I want to make sure that like everything is done strategically, just so that it's like I don't kill the momentum of the music. Because though Before I Say I Do is like my favorite project, I think that's like if you want to know who I am, that gives you everything. Mm-hmm. But Red October is super slept on, and Red October has all the hits. So it's like I'm gonna make the transition fully. So the band, like we're gonna work on a band album, of course, just take like a lot of the hits from both the albums and like make the best of, and then you'll have that. So that's another purpose for the show as well too. So that's like, you get to hear like Outside with the band, you get to hear Wrong Way with the band. And those are from the newer project. I don't perform those a lot because like, you know, I try to stick with the set that everybody's familiar with, you know, Apple Pie, Party Time, Heaven and Night, things of that nature.
Yeah, people's stuff can sing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those songs have that same kind of appeal as well too. Mm-hmm. It's just, we never just took the, you know, we have to kind of like really understand the pieces of the band, like what everyone is really good at. What are their favorite songs? I want to get to the point to where, you know, all the members in the band have a mic and we kind of just, you know, turn it to church to where it's just like everyone's like, party time, excellent. And the band is on it like as well too, you know? So we're bringing the pieces together. So I think that's going to be one thing that we'll have super finalized. You know, we have like, we have our logos, we have everything well. I'm working with 2 booking agents right now. I'll spread the news like online. Like I have to like go through the welcome letter, make sure everything is like all good. But so far everything is like, you know, kind of going in a good direction, and I just want to make sure I just create that bridge.
Keep
so I can
man.
bring you know, artists like Frankie Yism, Jay Brown, Sam Hughes, Mike Mass, K3, just bring all these artists out here that are serious about their craft and bring them over, and then just improve the integrity of the local scene. That's my, not like, that was my only goal here. That's why, you know, I started with the whole, me and Pro Major started with the Tampa Will Win thing. I'm never going to stop that because, you know, I just think people got it confused, you know, like there is mad support here in Tampa.
Yeah.
It's just that, like, if they don't come to your event, it's not the people, it's your event.
Yeah.
Respectfully. Yeah. Respectfully, you know what I'm saying? It's like, some people like certain Chick-fil-A's, you know what I mean? But Chick-fil-A's still a dope brand, right?
Yeah.
It has nothing, like, that's all people got to do is just look in the mirror and be like, let me just do better.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier, do better every day,
do
you
better,
know?
Yeah, you gotta attract them somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're there. They want to do it. I mean, when I go, when I'm not preem and I'm just like, you know, I go to like a dive bar or whatever, or I hear like a local band. I see the way people kind of like, you know, people want live music in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have so many karaoke.
Oh my God.
So many. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And people love live shows. And I can tell that there's some bigger names coming to Tampa.
Yeah.
They're not only in the music scene, but, you know, like football. You know?
Yes.
Even Tom Brady brought mm-hmm. a bunch of people in from up north. It's like this whole area, especially like Tampa, St. Pete, is just getting an influx of just amazing people.
Yes. And this is the time to where we have to really, really, really hone in. That's why I always suggest people to travel. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the big thing is just like you travel and then people just like they miss you when you're gone type thing. But no. Travel so you can learn from different places. Shout out to, I'm doing like a lot of name dropping.
Yeah, do it.
I just noticed, I'm just like, damn, I feel like The Game when he raps. All these names.
Just name dropping.
Khalees, right? Her and her mom owns the Selfie Museum. I bring them up because when I went to Denver over the summer, because like I said, my COVID experience was like really dope. You know what I'm saying? Because I got to travel more. You know, we got all that you know, the money. So I just kind of just reinvested into just like, you know, putting myself in a position to where it's like I could just create, to have just unlimited inspiration. So we went to Denver and we went to this thing called the Church of Cannabis, and we went to a Selfie Museum. And I'm just like, why the hell we don't have anything like this in Tampa? So I was trying to like, you know, get my LLC to get a loan to have one here. And then now I saw that there's two selfie museums in Tampa and one in St. Pete.
Nice.
But that just lets you know that like these people are not from Tampa, but they're coming from their, you know, their home stations. Yeah. And they're coming here with these ideas that are in other states. So I always encourage people to travel other states to see what are these landmarks and these things that these states got so we could bring them here. I would love to have a Meow Wolf in Tampa.
Nice.
I think it's super possible. You know what Meow Wolf?
Yeah.
We can have one here, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so, I'm telling you, man, we have an influx of so many talented, creative, crazy minds that we can build.
Agreed.
Something like that. And then as long as, you know, everyone knows everybody. So if somebody could, you know, talk to Jane Castro and then see how we can get it funded by the state, you know, donations only, so people could kind of come in. We can create an entertainment hub. You know, that place could be a spot to where everyone comes to.
Big time.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, they're already, like, Tampa's already getting it. You know, like, I don't know if you heard, but, like, they got rid of the meters. Well, they're adding meters now in Ybor.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so there's no more free parking. But they're doing that so that you don't have to keep looping around. Because sometimes you loop around so much, you're like, man, F Ybor, I'm going to go to Channel Side. You know? But even places like, oh, no.
Oh, no, you're good.
Had to save them. even places like Channel Side, they change that whole area into Sparkman Wharf.
Big,
you know what I'm
time.
Saying?
And I like it.
And then you have the yachts out there too. So it's like, you know, everyone just has to get rid of that mentality of what Tampa was from 2000 to 2010. Mm-hmm. Just erase that. Only keep the memory that you need to keep, but all the negativity from it, let it go. We've won two Super Bowls from then. The Lightning, you know, with Tom Brady coming in, all these other different businesses, they're bringing more jobs, more of like, let's just focus on the future.
Yeah.
We have to be future minded moving forward.
Yeah, and Frankie even said, I think Tampa is going to be the next Miami, or the next Orlando.
Yeah, well, Orlando, no. Miami, yes, because Miami is just really like Miami's not that big, but it's like there's a lot in that area. But the thing is, like, see, and I was going to talk to Frankie about that too, because I had mentioned in an interview, someone else mentioned it, he mentioned it. We got to stop doing that. It can't be the next Miami. We have to say it could be as known as blank blank blank, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because Miami became Miami because of his drug money, if we're keeping it a stack, you know what I'm saying? And it was just easier for the immigrants to come in.
Yeah.
So when they come in, they're working, and then the thing about them, you know, you go to these other countries, they're very colorful countries, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, so they're going to build things in there, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Then you have the people that make money on wilding, you got the people from New York that come down, and from other in LA and stuff like that. So then they bring in their things like the food, you know what I'm saying? And then Kiff and stuff like that. So we have the capability of doing it here. It's just that people have to just really just believe in what they want to do and then just invest their money in that particular thing. And it's going to work.
Yeah.
It's going to work. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's happening right before our eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The people are here. They're just waiting for that.
Yeah. Like no more waiting. Everyone has to have like that city. We're a city now.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's no more like a
town.
Yeah. It's not like a retirement town. Like, no, it's a city.
Yeah.
The gas prices should definitely have. And then the housing definitely put people on that tip.
Yeah. The housing developments here is insane, man. It's pushing people, some of the lower class people out, unfortunately.
See, but the thing is, I'm glad that you brought this up, because me and Sounds Anana was talking about this,
mm-hmm.
and I always brought this up, like sprinkled in every interview, just so anyone that's listening could understand what gentrification really is.
Mm-hmm.
yes, they're pushing out, but understand, right? This is not your land. Like, super understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, a good example, right? What Foot Locker is doing, right? So Nike's taking all the shoes out of Foot Locker. So now Foot Locker's like, what the hell are we going to sell now? You know what I'm saying? But in Foot Locker's mind, I know the CEO in his mind was just like, that's fine. Because Foot Locker is not just for Nike.
It's
just
not
like
just a
for
Nike store.
Yeah, just like, okay, say you live in like a low income area or whatever, right? But this is not the end all be all. Like, I'm not going to die in this area. That's how people have to start start thinking, you know, before you, when you're saving your money up and you're just like, you know what? I got my first time homeowners thing. Let me just get something small. Let me think about an Airbnb. Everybody that lives in Tampa should be thinking about at least having an Airbnb as a second income. It's like we're too far in the future. It's 2022. You have to have a second income.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's multiple sources of income.
Yes. Yeah. You have to. You have to. You have to. It's like, I don't care. Even the rich, they have it. You know what I'm saying? Even you got money passed down, you have to, because the thing is, it's not what it was 10 years ago. There's more people. More people means more money going to be spent. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have areas like LA. That's why you have areas like New York. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can move to a smaller town and kind of go that way. That's always an option. I know the people that drive in the road appreciate mm-hmm. that. But for those that want to reap the benefits of Tampa being an incredible city that it is, you have to think outside the box and create multiple streams of income. You have to.
Agreed. And don't move out.
Stay. I mean, if you have a
Make
home here,
work,
if you have a home here, stay. But I mean, if you move out, it's like, it's not, I don't knock them. You know, at one point in time, we were supposed to move to Phoenix because the market in Phoenix would definitely kind of like cater to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, man, my mom got a house out here, and then I literally seen the houses like jump like almost 300. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, no, man, it's like, it could work.
Yeah.
It could work. I'm a big analytic person, and when I see how many people live in Tampa, and then how many people go into certain areas, like when you do like your Facebook ads, stuff like that, like you can spend $20 and touch 25,000 people.
Yeah.
Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Some cities, like if you do that in New York, 25 probably get you like 1,200.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah, you know? So it's just, you know, anybody that's watching this, just like definitely like take heed to the conversation that we're having, because it needs to be said. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care who's going to be MVP this year. I don't care who got like the best trip. Like, we got to start worrying about ourselves and our family and our future.
Yeah, Tampa. Let's represent Tampa.
Yeah,
that's what you're here for, man.
Hell yeah.
So where can everybody find your stuff, man? I know you're a Pusha Prime on Instagram.
Yeah, you could just Google it, PushaPreme. I hate spelling it, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. We're going to be starting a Twitch pretty soon. Me and my man Nova, we're trying to create like a online federation. Once we have all the kinks like knocked down, it's gonna be dope. I think it's gonna be really dope, and I'm probably gonna have to holler at you to kind of like just create like the format with it. But other than that, man, like we're here, Pusha Prime on all socials, allaboutpreme.com. If you kind of want to, you know, contact us for any kind of booking or anything like that, you know, we're here, man. I'm not hard to find.
Yeah, just Google. Google Pusha Prime. Anybody else you want to shout out before we end?
Shout out this dope blogger called Ange Misoul. Make sure you like that, tap into her blog. She talks about a lot of issues with mothers, just a young adult that's just going through like so many things in her life. I think that's my wife, by the way, but whatever. I want to do the shameless plug, but her blog is dope though. I'm not like a heavy reader, more of an audio guy, but going through her blog, the writing is really dope, and she has like a solid fan base as well too. I want to shout out my band, The Wandering Assassins. Shout out Broken Mold and Tom from Crowbar for giving us the opportunity. Shouts to Metropolitan Ministries for working with us to help me with my nonprofit foundation.
I love Metro, man.
They're so nice, man. Like, they're so nice. And we were raising money too. I was so shocked. It's the first time I did any kind of like fundraising. And we raised
with
like,
them?
I'm just in general, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't understand the, you know, like how it worked. I always thought it was like a scheme or whatever. But now that I'm like in the driver's seat, I'm just like, oh no, this is like, people
legit.
Really care, you know?
Yeah.
Shout outs everyone that's on the bill, Jay Walt, Jay Brown, Shelby, FAB. Oh, it was also hosted by Buckwheat from 94.1.
Nice.
So yeah.
Okay.
So usually we have Davi had hosted my last joints, but now we got Buckwheat. So I try to keep the radio involved because everyone shits on the radio.
Yeah.
Like they don't play their stuff. But that's a conversation for another day.
For another day.
But you know, just shout out Tampa, man. Tampa will win. Shout out every artist that came out here. You know, I've been tapping in slowly, trying to just kind of just get more homework to see how I can, you know, lend a hand out or how we could just work together just to keep this thing rolling. And shout out to you, man, for providing this platform, yeah, taking the time out to make this happen.
Absolutely. And thanks to you for coming on and telling your story. And it's because of people like you that Blue Box is what it is today, man.
Hell
so
yeah.
I appreciate the love, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely, man.
Yes, sir.
So, and for us, it's going to be Blue Box Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok. We got a TikTok account that's doing pretty well there. We're going to post all these episodes on all the podcasting channels. So Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitch, all of them. And the video version is going to go on YouTube. If you want to follow along there, it's going to be youtube.blueboxdigital.com.
Make sure you like and subscribe too.
Yeah, like and subscribe, man. Let's get a community built.
Yeah.
You know, let's all rise together.
Hell, man. Hell yeah.
Let's do it. And so that's going to be it for us. And thanks again for joining me, man.
No doubt, man. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks.